I think I'm at the right place at the right time now. I'd like to invite your attention to a very familiar portion of Scripture, Psalm 23. I'm going to take you down a different road today. It's not going to be the normal, quote, sermon, unquote. It's going to be more of an explanation of each verse along the way. I want to share some thoughts with you of comfort and encouragement, and just help us to learn more about the Word of God. I know in studying this particular portion of Scripture for this week, I learned some new things that I never knew before, and I've looked back in my records, and I've preached this particular out of this particular psalm twice in my lifetime, and this will be the third time, and I just... Every time you open up the Word of God, it has something fresh and new for you. And I learned some new things, and hopefully I can teach you a couple new things along the way. But we know Psalm 23 is all about a shepherd. Now, David was a shepherd when the Lord called him to preach. Actually, he was tending sheep when Samuel came to his father's house and to anoint the next king of Israel. And Samuel looked at all of David's brothers, and God said, none of these. So finally, Samuel said, is there any more? You got any more kids? And the father says, yeah, I got one scrawny guy out taking care of sheep, and said, go get him. And when he walked in the door, God tapped Samuel on the shoulder and said, this is the man. He was just a young man. He was the youngest of, I think, eight children. And God picked him. But it's a picture of us often looking at the most, or the biggest, the most qualified, the tallest, or whatever it may be, because King Saul was taller than anybody else at the time. And that's the reason they picked him, because he was big and strong. And but God has a way of looking at the heart more than the outward appearance. And the heart is important to God. Jesus, when he came to this earth, he even identified himself in John chapter 10 and verse number 11. He says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Shepherds, I know nothing about sheep firsthand, okay? I don't know that I've ever seen a sheep other than in a zoo somewhere. I've never noticed them out in the fields, or I don't. All I know is what I've read and what God has revealed to me about them. But First Peter, the Apostle Peter, made a bold statement in chapter 5 and verse number 4. He says, when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive a crown of glory that does not fade away. Peter, the apostle, wrote that Jesus is the chief shepherd. He cares for his sheep. That's important for me anyway, to remind me that Jesus really cares for me. Not me lumped in a group of people, but me as an individual. And the same is true for you. As a shepherd knows his sheep and he names them, I find that unique that the shepherds of old named their sheep. I knew that the sheep recognized his voice, and that's how he led them, because sheep do not have the greatest of sight, but they. They recognize a voice. And sheep cannot be driven or prodded along the way, but they must be led. And they are sheep are led by the sound of their voice. So the shepherd had to be speaking, had to be talking all the time to his sheep in order for them to hear his voice and follow that voice wherever it may be. So God is doing something unusual here in that in writing this particular psalm. Now, David is the author, and David is probably a lot older than we anticipate him and when he writes this psalm. He's not a young man, but he's written this psalm in such a way that it serves as a... Well, all the psalms are hymns. They sung these psalms in the Hebrew language. Now, it does not translate very well into the English language for us to sing. There's a couple psalms that musicians have put music to, but we typically do not sing these particular psalms. This particular psalm is... Probably you've heard it more spoken to you at funerals than rather than sermons in a church. I think we have mislabeled this particular psalm in the fact that it talks about us being, in a sense, homeward bound. That it's a journey through life. It's a journey that we're on, whether we realize it or not. And I want to look at three particular areas out of this particular psalm. It's divided into three sections. If you have a Bible that has them divided into three sections, I'll put it that way. Mine is. But the first section, verses 1 through the first part of verse number 4, it talks about the joy of living. We live in a technology world. Because of technology, I think it has facilitated us isolating ourselves. We're no longer the most interactive people with other people. We tend to isolate ourselves with family or neighbors, or maybe even church members. But other than that, we just don't belong to any big associations where we fellowship together with other people. And I think that's a shame, because we grow spiritually by hanging out with other people and fellowshipping with other people. Some good and some bad, but everybody's a learning experience for somebody else, and everybody has a way of contributing to our spiritual development along the way. But it's interesting that this particular psalm starts off the Lord, putting the first priority that God is to be first in our lives. We need to look to Him for leadership as the shepherd to lead our lives. But so many times we just take off on our own. We don't ask God, what would you have me to do today? How would you protect me? I've got to the point that now when I leave the house, even to go grocery shopping, I ask God to lead and protect me along the way. Probably the most dangerous place I go to is a grocery store parking lot. I find people just start backing out regardless of who's in the way or anything. They don't even look anymore. They just take off. And you have to watch out for other people along the way. I happen to have a car that has a camera in the back, so I can see directly behind me, but I can't see to each side of me with that. So I have to look both ways. I just make sure that the person behind me is not backing up before I back up. And that's happened a lot too. But you have to be careful wherever you go and just watch what you're doing. But a shepherd leads, but he also communicates. Communication is a two-way street. It takes the shepherd to communicate, and it takes us to listen. But we can also communicate with the shepherd. That's what we call prayer. And prayer is a powerful thing. Prayer doesn't have to be just a morning thing or just an evening thing. It can be all through the day. You can pray at any time, any place. You can pray going driving. I know for years, I spent most of my driving time, I was on the road a lot, in prayer. You know, it's only God can keep up with your prayers when you're doing 75 miles an hour. Now you think about that. You're not on your knees, your eyes are not closed, but you're praying. But God hears every one of those prayers, and God records every one of those prayers. But not only do we communicate with God, not only does the shepherd communicate with us, but he also protects us. If we understood just how many times God has protected us along our life's journey, from the time that, you know, getting me through childhood was a divine act. I mean, I did things as a child that I guess that I would be arrested for today, you know, if I got caught doing some things. I can't remember the guy's name. I wish I could remember his name. I just know where he lived, and for some reason we thought he didn't like young people. And so one fall we decided we would get a little bit of childish revenge. So we went and stole a pumpkin, walked about a half a mile with it, then smashed it on his driveway and ran. He knew who did it, he just knew it had to be one of us. But I would get in trouble for that nowadays. If one of you tell him nowadays that, or tell the guy I stole it from, I didn't do it by myself. I had other help. I just remembered that we did that. That was an ornery thing to do, but we could get in trouble for that today. Some of the things that you did as a kid, you'd get in trouble. But God has protected me along the way. Not only is that, he provides. I don't know how many times he's provided for me financially or protected me or supplied the need in our lives. But the Lord is good because he's our shepherd. And a shepherd has that personal relationship that we need to put God first in our lives. I know we say we do, but we can't. It's impossible for us to do it 24/7. It's just impossible. We always get sidetracked with, we got to do this and we got to do that. We got to go here and we got to, you know, we got to make a living. We got to go get the groceries. We got to go get gas. We got to go help somebody, whatever. But put the Lord first, that leadership. And then he uses this pronoun, my. We need to have that personal knowledge of him. It's one thing to know him as Savior. It's another thing to know him as Lord. But it's another thing to know him as a friend. Jesus is your friend. He's your high priest. He is your interpreter of prayers. He relays them to his Heavenly Father as well as the Holy Spirit. But that's part of the shepherd's love for you and I. He provides. He gives us the Bible says, I shall not want. We may, he takes care of all of our needs. I have food at the house. I have gas in the car. I have lungs that work. I have eyes that see. God takes care of you and I through our everyday, all of our wants. I found an interesting thing when it says, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. Did you know that sheep only lie down when they're not hungry? When they're up, they're eating. But when they lie down, they're not hungry. I thought, that's an interesting little tidbit. I didn't realize that. That didn't register in my thick brain. But they only lie down when they're full. The green pastures is a term that relies upon the shepherd. The shepherd was always leading the sheep to where they could have pasture. Sheep, when they eat the grass, they eat it down to the snub, the stub. It has to have a couple weeks to recover from it. But he's always leading them to the next green pasture because they just basically annihilated this pasture. And as the summer goes and the summer heat comes in and the grass can't recover, he has to keep leading them upward to up on the side of the mountain to where the pastures are, where they can get to. But he takes care of them by leading them that way. But he has to lead them in a gentle way. He can't get behind them and drive them and push them because they scatter. That's the reason why a lone shepherd will have a sheepdog, because he keeps the strays intact, that they keep them as a group, that they can follow the leader along the way. But then I found another interesting tidbit. It says, he leads me beside the still waters. I did not know that sheep will not drink water from a running stream. Somehow they have to have still waters. I didn't realize that. It's I read that shepherds will even dam up a stream to so that the waters would be still at that particular point so the sheep will drink. But that's just the part of the shepherd's responsibility, is to provide for the sheep. See, Jesus provides for you and I. He gives us still waters to drink. He gives us that safety of knowing. When I was researching this, I thought of Rebecca, how she went to the well to draw water for her sheep. And that's how she ended up meeting Isaac's servant that came to find his wife, because she was willing to draw the water and take care of his camels and his entourage first. But sheep need that still water, even if it's in a trough, to be able to take care. Then the other thing I saw here in verses 3 and 4 is that he restores my soul and he leads me in the paths of righteousness. The shepherd provides, our good shepherd, the Lord Jesus, provides that spiritual leadership for us if we're willing to listen. Oftentimes we're too busy to listen. We need to take some time and just sit still and say, Lord, just meditate and let the Lord speak to our hearts. I find it interesting that when I get up and I start to pray, oftentimes before my feet hits the floor and before I kneel down to pray, there's I call it a divine thought that God gives me. Maybe encouragement for the day. It's maybe to point me in the right direction. It's maybe even to give me a message. They put me in the right scripture. But before I get so busy with life, there's that still small voice when nothing else has interfered with us in our thinking, that he gives us those thoughts, that because the shepherd is our spiritual leader. Yeah, he uplifts us in our well-being wherever we walk. He has a way of just taking care of us along life's way. He has a way of just doing that. And then he leads us to a better life, that righteous life. He just has a way of just that righteousness. He leads me in the paths of righteousness. How is it that sometimes you just go down the right way? Not the wrong way, you just go the right way. Without GPS, we probably got lost a lot driving. I still do, because I'm hard-headed and I won't turn it on. And I'll go. I'm going to strange churches in the middle of nowhere. God, that's another thing about God. God has God's people everywhere. I get a chance to go preach in some country churches and, you know, basically go down to the third red mailbox past the gas station, take a right, go down to the second bend in the road and take another left and go down that, and go by landmarks. And especially the first time, I'm often wondering, you know, church people give pastors, itinerant pastors, crazy directions sometimes. I mean, I've been turned around, lost so many times. Finally, I said, I got to stop somewhere and have to go 5 miles to find somewhere where I can stop and ask somebody. They said, oh, you're supposed to take that left back there behind the third tree there or something like that, and to get where I'm going. But God leads us to a better life, and God takes care of us. And then he takes care of us by living a good life. Try to do well. I know all of you haven't robbed any banks this week that I've heard about. But God works with your heart and wants to use you. And it's up to us to make the best of each situation that God puts us in. Remember, God is never surprised about where you are. He can see you, he knows where you are, and he will take care of you. Even if you do some dumb things, he will take care of you. He may get you to sink up to your nose in the swamp of life, but he'll take care of you if you depend upon him. And our journey is a personal type journey. We go and just take that personal journey. Romans chapter 14, verse number 12 says, so then each of us shall give an account for himself to God. Every one of us are going to answer for, I'm going to answer for me, you're going to answer for you. I don't have to answer for you, and you don't have to answer for me, but I've got to answer for me. When God leads us, we need to be obedient and follow him. And if he's not leading us, we just need to do the best we can according to the Word of God. And that's the reason why it's important for us to learn more about the Word of God, that we may be better on our journey along the way. Verse number 4. Excuse me. I learned a new thing here too. My Bible says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Back all the way up to that first word in that verse. Why does God promise to give us that personal escort along the way, so that we won't fear anything? Because the Holy Spirit, as a believer, the Holy Spirit will lead us and guide us along the way. He will take care of us. The word yea really has to do with, we would understand it better as wind, not the type of thing that blows, but wind. God has promised us that he will be with us whenever we need him, basically. And when we get to that point in time when we're about ready to go home, it's when he's really near and dear to us in a way that we don't understand. I personally believe that a lot of times when some of the, what we would perceive some of the greatest reprobates, when they get near that point of having their last breath, I think God is working in their hearts, and I think many of them would experience what we would call a deathbed confession. they finally get right with God, that no one on this earth ever knows about, because they didn't have a chance to speak because of the closeness of eternity in their lives. So I think it behooves us to understand that God never gives up on us. Doesn't give up on a lost person, doesn't give up on a redeemed person. God is always, always looking out for us, because he's the God of comfort. He's the shepherd that's always leading us in the right direction for the glory of Christ. And then, because we can fear no evil, and the reason for that is because the Holy Spirit is within us. Jesus even told his disciples in John chapter 14, he says, I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper or comforter, that he may be able to, that he may abide with you forever. And he is the Spirit of truth. One of the great things that you and I often, at least I often forget, is that I am indwelled by the Spirit of God. And he guides me and comforts me and strengthens me. He has a way of connecting the dots of life together for our good. And that's amazing if we just stop and think of all the things that he does for us. I know even this week I've seen God answer prayers that I've been praying for years, and that he's just now connecting the dots. But he had to do a lot of work over here with other people to get for it to happen, and for the time frame for it to happen. Another tidbit that I learned along the way is found in the last part of verse number 4. It says, you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Now, I've seen pictures of the staff that shepherds have. You know, it's a long stick with basically a hook to grab the neck of the shepherd, of the sheep, when they're in trouble, to get them out of a stream or out of a mud hole or whatever it is. But I've often overlooked the word rod. The word rod is the commentary that I read from. It's like a club about 3 or 4 foot long that he used to protect the sheep in case of a varmint or a predator coming after his sheep. He would use that to beat the predator away. Well, God beats the predator to keep them away from us. We don't realize it so many times, but God, somebody's had it out for you, but somehow God intervened along the way. God just has a way of doing that. So the rod and the staff, they comfort, gives us that eternal, internal peace. Not inward, that we're at peace with ourselves and our community and our friends and even our enemies along the way. But then he gives us his presence in verses 5 and 6. He says, you prepare the table before me in the presence of my enemies and anoint my head with oil. Jesus' presence is everywhere. He has prepared your way. He has guided you in your path of life. And then we use this term, he anoints my head with oil. We visualize maybe a king being anointed by a high priest. But did you know, and I did not know, that a shepherd will anoint the heads of the sheep? You say, why would he do that? Tidbit. Because gnats love to get in the nostrils of sheep to lay their eggs. But the oil keeps them away. Because when those eggs get in the sheep's nostrils, they will do everything to relieve the discomfort, even sort of beat their head against the wall, so to speak, to drive them out. That just shows me the detail that God goes to help you and I and protect us and to provide for us, that he takes care of us along the way, that he's able to do that, to give us that comfort in our lives. I just thought that was interesting, and it just reminded me how much we do not realize of what God does for us. God just takes care of us along the way. When Samuel found David to anoint him king as a spiritual application of anointing oil, it says in chapter 16 and verse 13, that then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him, that's David, in the midst of his brothers, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. That outward visible anointing signified that David was going to be the second king of Israel, but he did it in the presence of his brothers, who thought that young whippersnapper back there taking care of sheep wasn't worthy to be invited to hear Samuel. But God has a way of intervening in our lives when we don't even suspect. God, I don't believe David ever thought that day that he was attending sheep. Number one, he didn't know that Samuel was going to show up. Number two, he didn't have any idea that his brothers would come and get him and bring him to Samuel. And then Samuel anointed him. His brothers must have been standing back in just sort of in holy awe, like, God, why did you pick David? Because God looks at the hearts, and God saw that David was going to be a man after his own heart. See, God knows our future actions, and God wants to use you and I. But it also reminded me that God gives believers the authority to witness and to walk in righteousness. I don't know how, I can't count how many times God's given me the boldness just to speak up and share a thought, and invite people to church to share something about the Lord to a total stranger in a strange place, maybe even in a strange environment along the way. But God, and I've messed up and kept my mouth shut a lot of times, but God's convicted me afterwards about it. But I've slowly learned to speak up most of the time when God gives me that nudge in my side and says, speak up. See, God will guide us to in witnessing. Then one of the great things I think Christians need to remember or learn for the first time, you need to realize that God's forgiveness is big enough to wipe away all your sins. Even the ones that haunt your memory, God has forgiven you. And God has wiped them away and eliminated them from eternal punishment. If we would remember that would not be a stumbling block for us going forward for Him, we would serve the Lord better. Don't let your past haunt your future. Your past, your forgiven past is forgiven and forgotten, and let God use you in the future. And when we understand that, because we've been forgiven, God's mercy and goodness is with us. And I wrote down this note all the time. I need to remember that His goodness is with me all the time. In the middle of the night, in the early morning, in the late afternoon, whenever it is, God is with me. God is with you. Because we are forgiven, redeemed, heaven's our home. And we need to tell others about it. We need to tell others about it. So maybe this week, when you go about your life's responsibilities, you'll remember that the shepherd is willing to guide you, lead you, protect you, enable you, and that he wants you to serve him, to help others, that heaven may be more populated for the glory of the Lord Jesus. Shall we pray? Father, thank you for your love, your grace. Thank you for your watch care. I pray, Lord, you bless these people, guide them this week. Remind them of your great love and your great leadership and your great protection, Lord, that they will surrender to you on a daily basis to be available and used of you and their life's journey. For we ask and pray in Christ's name. Amen.